Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
And a good happy Monday morning it is.
It is indeed.
All right. Here is our assignment or set of assignments from Friday. The best guide in life is strength. In religion, as in all other matters, discard everything that we can view, have nothing to do with it. If we reframe this quote in terms of our practice, we would say the best guide in the world is the mentor. Turning to the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates gives us the support and strength to greet whatever arises in life. Today, instead of listening to what drains life force and energy, be guided by life as you direct the attention to what is here, what is true, what is now. Record and listen. On Saturday, truth is completely spontaneous. Lies have to be taught. Koan practice reveals the truth of this quote. The problem before us cannot be solved by a conditioned way of thinking. And that problem was in quotes. We have to sit with the koan, wrestle with it, love it, give up on it, return to it again and again until a flash of insight reveals its secret. Whatever stops us from seeing the solution has to be seen through first. To grasp the mystery of existence requires the lies to be worn away. Today, practice dropping the lies of conditioned mind and be open to receiving the truth of what is. And on Sunday, things don't change, but by and by our wishes change. As we practice, our context shifts from content to process. The what becomes less relevant than the how. The towel that I use to wash my dishes was simply just a towel. But when my perspective is everything is the Buddha, I fold the towel with reverence and care. The towel hasn't changed, but I have. As spiritual practitioners, we are making the movement from my wish being what the ego can get to my wish being what's compassionate for all. Today, notice how practice has changed your wishes. Record and listen.
Big weekend.
Big weekend. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Till from New York.
Well, hello, Till.
Hello, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. So Saturday, I love that assignment. And how it unfolded for me went like this. So I had a couple of hours to spend in San Francisco before catching my flight in the evening. And somewhat in the middle through that, I was sitting in a park, sat down to meditate, and after that, I saw the lie of conditioning, like, that there would be like this. I had been to San Francisco before, and I really liked it, and now there was this, in conditioned mind, this idea that somehow I had to make the stay there that I had there like the perfect thing somehow, the perfect SF experience by somehow finding the perfect place as the backdrop for that experience. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, wow, like saw that what I was doing was running around looking for that perfect place, but no idea what that would be, look like, and where that would be. So I was like, wow.
And certainly not having the perfect experience while you're looking
for it. No, certainly not. So, yeah, when I realized that, I was like, wow, holy crapola, I gotta stop that right now. So then I started just wandering around, just kind of asking at every intersection, so like, what now, life? What direction do I turn now? And then all of a sudden I found myself like, in those imperfectly perfect, like, quiet back streets, lovely, and had really, like, a lovely day, yes.
Yeah, that what now life beats the heck out of, you've got to have the perfect experience, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, because asking that question really comes from the perfect experience and brings us the perfect experience. Being in relationship in that way with life, that's the best we can ask for.
Yes, yeah, right. Totally true. Right, then we are already here where we want to be. What we're looking for is where we are,
That's great. Thank you so much. Glad you're home safe and sound.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, too. I just love that. Take care. Good to hear from a friend, Sherry.
Yes.
Friends in the neighborhood.
That's right.
It's just that movement of what now, as you were pointing to, drops us into being with how things are, which is perfection. It's only imperfect when we're not here. I just love that movement that we are training to make.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so simple, isn't it? It's so simple, and it's actually quite easy when we get it.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Sweeney. This is Rita.
Hi there.
Hi. I have a question about conditioning. So we come into this life and we're light and full of love and energy, and then things start happening to us, and which affects us. And sometimes those things are disappointing and heartbreaking, and they start kind of piling up. Now, is that conditioning or is that experience?
Well, anything that we learn from is conditioning. That's what conditioning is. Okay. You're learning something, in quotes, because we're actually not learning anything, but we're learning something, and then we drag that into the next moment.
Okay, so if we have a disappointing...
You were conditioned to speak English. Right?
Okay.
And so, and so you speak English, you think in English, you speak English. If you're not careful, you assume the whole world speaks English, or there's something magical about English, or it's most important or the best, or all sorts of things that pile on to that. But the reality is, it's just what you were taught, how you were conditioned.
Okay.
What are you seeing about that with the assignments?
Well, I'm just looking at the conditioning part of it and trying to see, so if we have something happen to us that's disappointing and then another thing happens, the same thing, and it starts to build up this kind of tragic lifestyle take, that is conditioning.
Okay. That's right. And what you're describing, of course, is living in an imaginary past. One of the most difficult things for us to get as egocentric, karmically conditioned, self-hating human beings is that none of what those voices in our heads say happened actually happened.
But what if our experience to feel heartbroken?
It's a story. And it's a story told by somebody who wasn't there a story created by a system that wasn't there. So it's kind of like going to a movie and coming out believing that your life is the life of the person you just saw in the movie. It's about that related. Yeah. So the very best thing that we can do with all of that mm-hmm. is drop it. Forget it. Let it go. I was just looking at that this morning. You know, one of my favorite stories is so most of you have heard this many times, but the gal who goes out for the evening, big do, big dinner, big party, dozens and maybe hundreds of people, and it's just, she's dressed to the nines, and she just, you know, meets all these fascinating people, has all these wonderful conversations. She comes home, she's so lit up, she's so excited, she's getting ready for bed, and she is standing in front of the mirror, and she's just grinning over what a great evening it was, and she sees that stuck in her teeth is this great big green piece of spinach. And she knows that it's been there all evening. All these people she's talked to, all this grinning that she's done, and all these people are seeing this spinach in her teeth. Okay? Can you just get a sense of that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so she just reaches up, and she with her little finger, and she just removes it, and she throws it in the trash, and she looks back at the mirror, and she says, "It never happened." That we are capable of, that is essential behavior. It
wow.
never happened. Don't give it another thought. If we would let go the things that we believe are our memories, mm-hmm. we would have a level of freedom that is unimaginable until mm-hmm. we do it.
So what about the experience of it? Like, if you experience...
That's the whole point. There isn't an experience.
There is not a physical experience from it. So it's like watching a movie. You watch a movie, it's thrills, it's heartbreak, it's crying, and then you just let it go.
That's right. You just let it go. So I was just talking with people recently about something like the pain of childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why would anybody ever have a second child? Well, because they forget how painful it is to have them. Right?
Oh.
And it's in that same way. You cannot, in this moment, recall that. You can recall a story about it, but you can't
mm-hmm.
recall the experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
We gotta hear from some other folks.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. Great to hear from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rita. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Good morning.
Oh, there
Hi,
you are.
I am. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, good morning. So I was looking at the assignment process versus content.
Uh-huh.
And that encouragement as practice deepens to look at the process as opposed to being bamboozled into the, in quotations, the meaning of content has been so helpful.
Uh-huh. Can
yeah.
you give us a little example?
Well, let me see. Yeah, for example, I'm working around this content of auto insurance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the conditioning around it is the process I'm looking at the process that it's complicated and confusing and it's not straightforward and
you could make a mistake.
Exactly. You can get the wrong insurance. There's too many coverages. So I was watching this process of overwhelm when really must insure the car. That's just the rule. That's the law. Okay. The law is uninsured drivers. There's a lot of consequences.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, but the process I'm getting into it while I'm researching it and going about registering and insuring the car is overwhelm, fear, like you said, make a mistake. What if I get the wrong insurance? What if I don't get the right coverage? What if, so that's why I was looking at the content versus process.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting that you could make a mistake. That's the one. So it gets you ahead of time.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got to get, because what if you do, because, and there's that feeling that somehow you're going to win. You know, if you make the right decision, you're going to somehow best the insurance company. Good luck on that one. Right?
Yeah.
And then what we're really trying to insure ourselves against is something happened and I didn't make the right decision.
Yeah.
I made a mistake and now it's my fault that this happened. And so it's pre-torment and post-torment.
That's critical,
And so if we get that, if we say no torment now, no torment later, then you just do the best you can and get the insurance that you get and never think about it again. It's just like the spinach in the teeth, right? Think about it again.
Yeah, I went right there, spinach in the teeth. You're right. Do the best you can. Be present in the moment. We'll ask life, drop in what looks appropriate, what looks like that fits the needs of what I'm going to do with the car. And then you're right.
That's
just
right.
Get the policy, put it in the glove box, the insurance papers, and drop it.
That's it. Never think about it again. And if something happens, what you don't ever entertain is voices that say it's your fault. If you never entertain voices that say it's your fault, I mean, think of the freedom in that. Right?
No reviews.
No reviews. No postmortem. No regrets.
No regrets.
No blame. No guilt. None of that.
None of that. Yeah.
We just always do the best we can do. And Todd, that's the deal right there. Because we've all done things that the voices would say, that's your best? And actually, in that moment, that was my best. Would it be my best now? No. But that's because of everything I learned in that moment and other moments like them. Now, that's not the same learning we were just talking about with Rita. Right? That's not the what I learn is life is out to get you and you have to be really paranoid, especially when you're buying insurance. That's not what we're learning. Right?
No. Yeah.
We're learning that being present is the very best that we can do, and that's what we're practicing.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I just saw in that is when we're practicing, like we've always been looking at in practice, is directing the attention to be in this here now. And life informs us, there were some options came up and it just kind of, I had this intuition of, I'll go this way with it. And then, like you said, no reviews. It's like, okay, I got pulled in this direction. It felt like life was guiding me there. Okay. No reviews.
Good. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with this.
And if something happens down the road, one of the things that we know is that it's kind of tricky sometimes to tell whether this is life guiding me or this is ego talking like the mentor. Well, okay, it's not a mistake to be in a process of seeing which that is. That's not a mistake. That's part of the education.
Yeah. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Thanks, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks,
Todd. You know what I love about our practice, Sherry? It's so practical.
It is, isn't it?
A decision, because of what Todd started us off with, it's always about the process and not the content. That in the act of deciding insurance, what we're really doing is learning, the education is learning to be present. Because when we say direct the attention to here, it often sounds like, well, what is here? But here is where everything is. It's not a contentless place. It's full of content. It's just that we're in the process of presence, not in the content, right? And so endurance is still a decision we have to make, but being present to it implies that we're coming to it with that awareness that there are no mistakes, and the only thing I'm ever doing is getting here for the life to unfold rather than for me to make a decision. And in that context, there are no mistakes. And so all I'm learning to do is be present for whatever it is that life is unfolding in the moment.
Yeah. And when you say that, Ashwini, the critical piece of that is really getting it that the intelligence that animates us is on our side. We could say the intelligence that animates us is on its side. It's not going to do anything that is not in its best interest.
Yes. Yes. The intelligence is on our side, and it's not going to do anything that it's not in its best interest, which could be not in the interest of ego or a choice that I would never make. But that's because intelligence wants to awaken to itself. And removing that or letting go of that obstacle that stands in its way is part of its process.
Yeah, yeah, as far as we can tell. That's sure as heck the way it looks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's empirically true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air.
Right.
Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Zoe. I didn't think I would get on. Wow.
Hi Zoe. Zoe. What do you see?
Well, let's see. I was at work yesterday, so I didn't really do yesterday's assignment, but I was looking at a couple of things yesterday evening about, I guess it's sort of a story that I'm believing, and and so I think I was really just identified with a story about practice in general, and you know, that I have to do it a certain way in order to participate, I guess. Like, it's not okay for me to call in or participate if I don't do it to a standard.
Yeah, and really, when it comes down to it, Zoe, it's not okay for you to be alive if you don't do it to a standard. isn't that really what's going on?
Well, and so I get really kind of caught up with it. I get caught up with it because it seems like it can be true from a certain, like, I get into a perspective where it is sort of like, well, yeah, you know, if I'm not recording about, like, I got into, like, this kind of place where...
You can't say it. You can't say it. It won't let you say what it's saying to you because it's such horsepucky, right? So, and you know it is.
Don't.
As soon as you say it out loud.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
If I don't have a relationship with the mentor, how can I possibly ask you to give me any sort of advice or support or, doing it myself?
If you, Zoe, if you don't have
a mentor, then for sure.
Uh-oh.
Sherry, you went away.
Yeah,
Sherry?
You went away.
Zoe?
Oh, I sure did. I could even hear that I went away. Okay, let me see. There, now I'm back. So what I was saying is, if you don't have a relationship with the mentor, if you don't have a solid recording and listening practice, if you're not meditating regularly, if you're not, then for God's sake, that's the time to ask for support.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
So somebody somebody who's practicing perfectly, whatever that is, you know, they get up and they meditate in the morning and they meditate at night and they record and listen all day long,
yep.
and they want to be looking at how can I serve more? That's what they want to be calling in
right.
about. And sometimes you'll be there. Because sometimes your practice is like that. It's really solid. Right?
I think,
yes, Zoe, the answer is yes.
I would like to think of a time in which that was true, but I can't, but sure, yeah. Yeah, that's crap. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm really glad we're having this conversation because I know a lot of people get there. A lot of people hear that story of, you know, well, I'm not practicing the way I should, so I should quit. But, you know, that's going on all the time. I don't get to the gym as often as I should, so I should just quit.
Yeah.
I don't, I don't eat perfectly all the time, so I should just quit trying. I don't, you know, that's ego's deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the should is what prevents my recording and listening practice from actually engaging in authenticity. If I'm doing it out of a sense of grim obligation, of course I'm not going to want to do it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And
that's what I saw the other
day. I mean, I'm like, well, of course I'm not lit up by this. It's like, you should. And that's why you're miserable, and that's why you're suffering. It's because you are not doing it the way you know.
Oh,
and it's like, of course I'm not going to enjoy it. Of course I'm not going to feel the benefits of it when that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, that's a time to just walk outside. You know, walk from tree to tree and say, do you love me? I really love you. Do you love me? You know, everything that you see around you, you know, I love you. Do you love me? And then watch that grimness just fall away in the face of that love. And then, now, okay, here we are. Now we're ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Good.
Well, I will try to carve out a space for the trees this afternoon. Thank you, Sherry.
There you go. Yeah, and in the meantime, you can just glimpse them out of the window, see their beautiful selves there, sending you love. Yeah.
That's lovely. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Zoe.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Zoe. Bye. That's so cool, isn't it, Sherry? The most sincere and good person in the world is tortured by that movement into you're not doing it well, you're not doing it right, you're a bad person and not meeting the standard.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that even while Zoe is working, right, I mean, what she does is pure service. And that is not, she has to bring a special level of awareness and attention to how she does that. I mean, truly, life's at stake. And that is not considered awareness practice or meeting a standard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That we have to go outside.
That.
Yeah. If you're not reporting and listening, it means you're not paying attention, which doesn't drive.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
And the other point that you made is such an important point is that kind of torture really only happens to good people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only good people will buy it that I'm not good enough.
That's true.
You know, there's a lot of the world that just doesn't even have that as an issue. It doesn't have it as a point of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think we could say in the Screwtape Letters way of saying it that the devil really has taken it over when our spiritual practice becomes the source of our suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So big.
Yep. And so that brings us perfectly to our assignment.
All right.
The winds of grace blow all the time. All we need to do is set our sails.
The dictionary defines grace as the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God. Freely given an unmerited favor and love from God. This is not something we need to earn. It's not ours because we deserve it. The love is simply freely given. Our quote tells us that grace is a given, that it's here all the time, and all we need to do is choose it. Where does this then leave all of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, self-improvement programs, its judgments and criticisms? Given that we live in the freely given favor and love of the divine, perhaps it's time to drop ego stories of gotta change, gotta fix, gotta do, so we can turn our attention, our eyes, and our sails to life's gracious yes. Today, let yourself receive the freely given favor and love of the divine each time you say thank you for a blessing you're offered. Record and listen.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy. Getting bigger. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.